This Quest for Gold sponsorship is brought to you by ComEd, providing options and resources to businesses looking to make the switch to electric vehicles. Learn more at comed.com/clean.
Welcome to Quest for Gold. We are within 1 month of the opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympic Games, and Team USA is nearly complete. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team has been named by new head coach Emma Hayes. There are some familiar names on there. Crystal Dunn, who we spoke with back in episode 39, Lindsey Horan, Mallory Swanson. One name is not on this roster, though. Alex Morgan, the 34-year-old, tweeted a statement that she was disappointed about not having the opportunity to represent the country on the Olympic stage, saying, "This will always be a tournament that is close to my heart, and I take immense pride anytime I put on the crest." Hayes called it a difficult decision to pick the 16 members to represent Team USA. They have not been very successful in recent Olympic tournaments. We're still waiting for the men's final roster, which consists of U23 players. We learned this week that the men's team actually will not be paid for participating in the Olympics, even though the women will. Because of their age, they don't fall under the same collective bargaining agreement as the women. The U.S. track and field trials wrap up this weekend. Way too many athletes who have punched their tickets to get into. But we do know that Noah Lyles is qualified for Paris in the 100 meter. So did Sha'Carri Richardson on the women's side. Our friend Tori Franklin was one of three qualifiers in the triple jump. We had a chance to chat with her this week, and we'll hear more of that discussion coming up next week on Quest for Gold. Quincy Wilson, the 16-year-old who just wrapped up his sophomore year in high school, was a fun storyline. We'll see if he's able to punch a ticket. And we'll have a better view of the track and field team at the end of this weekend. NBC announced this week it will be using Al Michaels in upcoming recaps in its streaming service Peacock. While the voice will be Michaels, it will actually be generated by AI. Michaels, who has covered previous Olympics, has authorized his voice to be used for these recaps. Former Olympic swimmers Michael Phelps and Allison Schmidt testified before the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigation over their frustrations with the World Anti-Doping Agency after a report revealed several Chinese swimmers tested positive for a banned substance before the Tokyo Olympics. They were still allowed to compete and even won medals. Phelps and Schmidt are urging more accountability for WADA, which monitors all drug testing of Olympic athletes. Congress provided the agency funding, and leaders say that money could be stripped away if they don't see changes with the agency. The Seine River water conditions failed yet another test a month out from the games. A report says levels of E. coli were 10 times the acceptable levels, making it too dangerous for swimming. Two events are supposed to take place inside the river, marathon swimming and the triathlon. Those events are in jeopardy. France spent $1.5 billion trying to sanitize the river. Organizers have yet to announce a plan B if the water is not clean enough to swim in. The U.S. will be handing out portable air conditioning units to athletes to use at the Olympic Village. Many athletes are concerned about the heat in Paris and the lack of AC inside of the Olympic Village. Other countries, including Canada, Great Britain, and Germany, have also said they'll be passing out AC units to their athletes. U.S. Olympic gymnastics trials are underway this weekend in Minneapolis. Much of the attention will be, of course, on Simone Biles, as she hopes to punch her ticket to Paris, as well as Suni Lee, who's coming back from some health issues. Meanwhile, on the men's side, you've got a team that placed third in Worlds and stands poised to do some damage in Paris for the first time in some time. Paul Judah, a University of Michigan student from Illinois, is among the men's gymnasts hoping to make that roster. I had a chance to chat with him.
It's hard for me to plan exactly what's after trials. I've never made an Olympic team, so I can't tell you exactly, but it's probably going to be very exciting.
Yeah, do you find yourself playing some mental gymnastics over these next couple of weeks, trying to envision yourself in Paris, but not trying to get too far ahead of your skis and just thinking about what is next?
Yeah, I mean, that's the name of the game. You have to stay optimistic, but you also have to stay on the task at hand. And so my biggest challenge probably is the sports psychology of this, of gymnastics. It's replaying those routines every single day. And it's, you know, we've heard so many times that those great athletes like Michael Phelps envisioned everything that could go wrong. And then when nothing does go wrong, they were prepared for it anyway. So yeah, it's playing a lot of mental gymnastics, and I'm just staying in the moment though, staying grounded, reminding yourself about the people that love you and why you still do this sport, especially when it gets hard.
There's been a big focus. I went to the Team USA Media Summit in New York, and there's been a big focus with USOPC on mental health among athletes, offering up sports psychs, offering up resources like that. Is that something you've taken advantage of at that level? Maybe University of Michigan has something similar. Do you meet with someone professionally to stay grounded?
Yeah. My freshman year, I think I came in like every college athlete from with the best in their state, and they thought they were all that. And you come to college and you're like, wow, everybody's this good. And it was pretty hard that I realized that it's not just going to be who's the best athlete that day. It's also who's going to have all of their boxes checked, who's doing their school the best, who's got all of their other things in their life that are checked because their parents can't handle it anymore. And so I quickly started meeting, actually it was around the COVID summer, with our sports psychologist here, our professional. He's named Kevin Monnier, and he's just been, I mean, he's been integral to why I've been able to succeed. He pushed me, and I came to him and I said, hey, I don't think I'll be your traditional meeting that you usually will have at a sports psychologist. I really want to be pushed to the limit in this side of the gym, because I'll do everything inside of the gym, but outside of gymnastics, I need to be strong too. So I really think that's what propelled me. I've pushed it on a lot of my teammates as a team captain. I've said, hey, it worked for me, and even if you don't think it does, it will never hurt you. You know, it's never going to push you in the negative direction. So yeah, Kevin Monnier here, and he's been integral to my success. And Team USA offers a ton. USA Gymnastics has a couple of great people that we could work with, but I've stuck to what I've loved, and Kevin Monnier is that guy for me.
Is it a challenge? Have you found it to be a challenge to be more process oriented than results oriented? I assume that's a big part
Oh.
of what you do.
Yeah. There's this book called The Inner Game of Tennis that we started with. That's kind of the foundation of self one versus self two. And self one is the guy that's just thinking all about winning and what it takes to win, and et cetera, the results. But self two, you just let that guy go. He shows up to the game. He doesn't even realize he's in the game. He's in flow, and you just got to let self two go all day. And we talk about that all the time. The best competitions are the ones where you're in the zone, but you never acknowledge that you're in the zone, because the second that you acknowledge that you're in the zone, you snap right out of it. So yeah, self one versus self two. And we also talk about that. Gymnastics in college is a really big team sport. It's more individualized as we get to the Olympics, but and making the Olympic team is pretty individualized. But on the NCAA level, it's about 30 different routines that have to go up. And when you have 30 routines, it's kind of like flipping a coin 50-50 and getting heads 30 times in a row. It's just pretty darn hard. And obviously, I'd say that at the end of the season, your guys are better than a 50-50 shot of hitting their routine and not falling. But you have to remind everybody that it's not about winning the competition. It's about going one routine at a time, focusing on all of the work over the past 10 months that got us there. And, you know, I would be lying if I said I'm not doing that right now, too.
What's the state of U.S. men's gymnastics right now? We'll get into what's going on here in Illinois with high school, but I just kind of want to know. We talk a lot about Simone Biles. We talk a lot about the women's side. You guys are kind of in the shadows of all of that. But how has this team been building? And a lot of these people are your competition, but you've got to, obviously have a lot of respect for them.
Yeah, I've been lucky to be in the national team for several years, and around October and December, if it's not an Olympic year, has always been a really tumultuous time, because we would send a really strong team, a very capable team, to the World Championships, but we would come home empty-handed, and it was always really tough to kind of send our A team. It was always an extremely strong team, but they just couldn't get the job done, and whether it was for this reason or that reason, it's just sports. It didn't happen. You know, it's a very binary metric. You either came home with the medal or you didn't. And so this year in our December camp, when we're in the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, it was a really, really joyous celebration of the team that got it done. I was really fortunate to be part of that team that ended the medal drought of about 8 years, and everybody was so excited for the Olympic Games. And I was really fortunate to say, I was like, wow, there's a lot of really good positive energy that's going on around this whole place, this whole community, this whole team, and I really think that we can push that forward for this next couple of weeks, and definitely into the Olympics. I tried to make a comment to the senior team when we were there back in May, and I said, you know, it's really difficult, because who doesn't want to bring all 20 of us? Who doesn't want to have an Olympic team where all of our hard work was recognized? But it's a really tough decision, and you can only bring five people, obviously, and two alternates. But if we all commit ourselves for the next couple of months to do everything in our power to get a medal, then you don't know how much that's going to sharpen the next guys. Because maybe you're the sixth guy out and, you know, maybe you won't be part of the celebration. You won't be part of that. You won't even get a medal and they'll probably not even remember your name. But number five is going to know how hard you pushed them. And you get to say that you had a little bit of that medal, that you were part of that medal. Only if you try your hardest, though. So I think we've got a really good energy going into this Olympic Games. And it's going to be a really fun, really fun year.
I do want to get into what's going on in Illinois, because as you saw that boys gymnastics, it doesn't look like it's going to go on. I might be wrong about that. I don't know. But does that hurts the sport, right? I mean, that can't be good for the sport.
Yeah. I mean, I actually never participated in high school gymnastics at my alma mater at Stevenson, because I had grown up with my club coach. And Illinois is actually one of the only few states that still does or had men's gymnastics. It definitely does hurt the sport. I think though, gymnastics is one of those sports that you have to get in pretty early. It's very rare that somebody can pick it up in high school and excel to the top level because of the foundation that you need to build. But absolutely, any amount of exposure that gets cut from gymnastics hurts the sport. There's no doubt about that.
Has there been cutting going on at the collegiate level?
Oh, there was quite a ton in the last couple of years. Some major programs, the University of Iowa and the University of Minnesota. I'm happy to say that we've come back with a couple of other additions since that time, which I don't think anybody thought was possible after seeing the trend of dropping two major programs. But like I said, I think this kind of energy that we have coming from the World Championships with a medal there and continued exposure for the women's side, I think women's NCAA is doing unbelievably well. My girlfriend's actually a member of the 2021 National Championship team here at Michigan, and their coverage is awesome. They've got fan support, they've got TV support, they've got everything. And I think the change too for ESPN to pick up all university championship tournaments this next coming year is going to be fantastic. We've actually got the NCAA hosted here in Ann Arbor next year, so it's going to be awesome to have ESPN there. And I am optimistic about the sport. I have to be realistic too, but I do see a future where men's gymnastics stays alive.
Is there NIL money available to you or to others? I mean, are there opportunities that you see now with NIL that maybe didn't exist 5 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got I myself haven't partaken as much probably as I could have, or maybe I should have, quote unquote, but I've kind of just tried to keep the main thing while I've been here. It was kind of unique to me because I signed up for college without NIL even being an option. So when they introduced it was kind of so much of a foreign territory that it's still just so complicated sometimes. And adding on social media manager to a whole list of student athlete responsibilities is something that's a little bit too much for me. And I'm not one that particularly loves to be in the limelight. So that could be possibly it too. But we've got a teammate who just does phenomenally with NIL. His name's Fred Richard. He's a freshman phenom. He's a sophomore phenom. He's got third in the all around at the World Championships. He's phenomenal. And he definitely capitalizes on his NIL. The NIL money is there. The opportunities are there. You just have to be ready. And he talks about it all the time. It's not so much a grind as much of it for him as it is just a business.
Sure. And I would assume that would include maybe coming home and running camps and doing things like that, finding ways to even take advantage of your own circles. I'm sure everyone loved to, you know, take a camp from, Michigan and Team USA gymnast. I mean, I'm sure they, that's my tip for you. They probably pay pretty big money.
Yeah. Will do.
So what events do you excel at? What do you struggle at?
Yeah, I am an all around gymnast, and I do all six of the events in men's gymnastics, which are floor, pommel horse, rings, vault, P-bars, and high bar. And this past year at the World Championships, I was ranked fifth in the high bar and fifth on vault, which was pretty awesome. And it's a really funny story because although I didn't come home with a medal, I don't think I even had expectations of making an event final, which means being one of the top eight in the qualification round, in the qualification round at the World Championships. So when I came away with fifth, and I had done my performances extremely well, that they were to the best of my ability, I was beyond happy. I was elated. I was like, I didn't even think I was going to make this team. So to come away with a bronze medal in the team final and also two fifth place finishes, yeah, that's a successful world championships. Of course, when you highlight it compared to one of my other teammates in the world championships, Coy Young of Stanford, he got the bronze medal in the team final and then two silver medals on Paul Morrison vault. So he definitely had also a very successful world championships. But yeah, those are probably my two highlights and probably the two events I love training the most. I would say probably the event that I struggle with the most, though, is parallel bars. I've had a various slew of injuries that have kind of caused me to push that event back and focus on other strengths, which I do. I definitely do. But if there's one event that Team USA should not use me in, you should definitely be calling for help if they're using me on, is parallel bars. But we've got such an amazing team with Kern Phillips, Joel Moldahler, Fred, like I just said, Cameron Bach. These guys are Brody Malone. These guys are incredible on P-bars. If they were to use me, it'd be the wrong meat.
How did you get into the sport?
I was just an energetic kid, like I think most gymnasts. My brother and sister, both from Illinois, we all lived in Illinois, and they were doing gymnastics recreationally, and we got really lucky. The gym that I used to go to before it closed down due to COVID was Buffalo Grove Gymnastics Center, and I lived just about 5 minutes away. And if you took a shortcut, I was about 2 minutes away. So it was perfect. My mom and dad are both foreign immigrants from Poland. My dad's been here almost 45 years, and they were able to pick me up right after work and take me to the gym and drop me off and let me expel all my energy. So it's been probably the best investment ever since.
Is competing for Poland an option? Have you ever considered that?
It definitely is an option. And although my blood is Polish American, I want to say though, the team is more competitive and it's just who I am. I was born and raised American and I've always dreamed about Team USA. I've had so many idols that came from Team USA. So I feel as almost I'd be cutting myself short by not doing that. I know that I think it'd be possible to go and compete for Poland. And don't get me wrong, the procedures are rigorous if I were to go for it again. But I want to make the team for Team USA and bring home that medal, especially having already made one medal with the team in the World Championships.
Does Russia not competing under their flag have any impact on you? Obviously, they've been a powerhouse in gymnastics for a long time. Is that something you guys even think about, or does it even matter?
Yeah, I think it's just they're not even competing at all. Just not under their flag. They didn't compete under their flag in 2021 when they won the Olympic Games. So yeah, they're pretty darn amazing at gymnastics. So yeah, I think it definitely opens up a little bit of a spot for us to be able to potentially take away one powerhouse team and have a better shot at a medal. But it's gymnastics, and the thing about gymnastics is anything can happen at any point on any day at any point in the competition.
I don't want to get you thinking too far in advance, but have you ever been to Paris before?
I haven't, but actually my parents did have their honeymoon there, so that's pretty fun.
Okay. Do you envision yourself there maybe when you're laying in bed at night thinking about what that could potentially be like?
Yeah, I'll show you this. So I actually made, let me show you this. I made this, sorry for the vacuum, but I made this, I bought this Lego that is it was about 10,000 pieces and it's about as tall as me. I'm not very tall, but so yeah, so I built that and it's always been kind of a reminder for me to look at it and hopefully if we were to come home with a medal or something, I can make a sweet shadow box with that. So yeah, it's something I think about sometimes.
How long did that take you to put together?
Oh my gosh. That was probably, I want to say like 48 hours of work.
What other sports have you played? Do you play, have you just been focusing on gymnastics?
Yeah, I dabbled a little bit in soccer and basketball when I was a little kid, but nothing ever serious. I think I was just an athlete in all senses of the word. I just wanted to get energy out. I played roller hockey after practice with my dad. But mostly now I'm just trying to focus on gymnastics and also try and lower my handicap from 30 in golf. I mean, that's about it.
I read you listen to house and hip hop music. Is that before competitions? That would kind of, does that get you amped up or does that chill you out?
A little bit of both. I think I like to listen to it during the competitions, if anything. And also, there's just nothing like it, in our gym when it's really hot outside and we've got the windows open and you still can't catch a breath and everybody's sweating, dripping, and there's music bumping and your grips are about to, your grips are chalked, but your hands are torn and you're bleeding and everybody's around you cheering you on. There's nothing like house and hip hop going on in the back. And probably my favorite guy to put on right now is, his name's Fred again. And Fred again, dot, dot, dot. And he's phenomenal. I mean, he is just phenomenal.
And house music came from Chicago. So there's a tie right there. So there you go.
That's it.
You're a college student. What's your major? Like, what kind of jobs are you thinking? What kind of industry you want to try to get into? Are you trying to land an internship right now?
Yeah. So no internship right now. I've actually never had the chance to land an internship during college, which is kind of funny, but I think I've been spending my time pretty well otherwise. So I had a kind of crazy college career. I started off in the School of Engineering here and realized it's not necessarily for me. It's not where my heart's at. It's not just that it was difficult. I won't shy away from that. It was extremely difficult, but I didn't want to go to class. I did go to class. I just didn't want to be there. So I switched into the School of Literature, Science, and the Arts, LSNA, and I finished up my degree in psychology. I got my Bachelor's of Arts, but I figured, okay, I also need to have a real career. I can't just get this degree and kind of have nothing to show for it. So I also got a certification in sales and marketing. And I was like, this is my bread and butter. I love the business world. It's honestly for me, when we did our first couple of sales calls in class, it was just a competition. And I felt like this is my time to perform just like gymnastics. I came in and I had fun with it. It was genuinely like almost like a performance. And then we moved into my graduate degrees, which are now in real estate development, which I just finished up this past year, which was just an eye-opening experience where I saw a lot of really big wealth creation is possible. And I saw a lot of titans of the industry that became extremely wealthy and have done really amazing things. They did it through real estate. And I also saw real estate, and I see real estate as an opportunity for me to not just make a lot of money, but also help a lot of people, because I believe that a home is integral to someone's psyche, and there's so much psychology that goes behind that. And creating and making affordable housing today is like number one issue in our society. So that's probably one area that I will definitely focus on in my career. And then also, I'm coming back for my sixth year because of COVID in a red shirt, and they want to kick me out, but I'm still here, and I'm getting a master's of accounting degree next year. So I'm really excited. I'll be in the Ross School of Business, and it's been awesome. And what kind of career? Oh, it's definitely not going to be traditional. Just like gymnastics isn't traditional. I don't think standard 9-to-5 is something that I ever want to do, just because it's not my personality. I'm kind of a weird guy, and I'm a quirky dude. And I think definitely going down the entrepreneurial route, because one of my highs are high, and I want to ride those when I can.
Well, I think that putting Olympic gymnast on a resume would definitely be helpful. Tell us, where can we follow you on social media? How can we kind of track your journey?
Yeah, I'm all over. I'll try and post a little bit more in the coming year. I'm a little bit dark right now. I'm just focusing on gymnastics. I've got social media off my accounts, just keeping myself going, just focusing on gymnastics, not really trying to listen to too much of the noise outside of it. But you can just look up my name, Paul Judah. I'll sometimes post and you know, also follow me on LinkedIn to all the people who want to listen to this. I try and post some more professional updates on there, and always looking for business connections, looking for the world past gymnastics, and love talking to business leaders that have that want to hear my experience, because I think it's so one-to-one with business and leading a team and whatnot. So I love to find me on LinkedIn. I've got a picture of myself on there, and on Instagram. I think I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and I'm on Facebook, but don't friend me on Facebook. I'm not using that. So, but yeah, Instagram and Twitter.
Good luck this weekend, Paul, and hopefully we'll see him in Paris. That'll do it for this episode of Quest for Gold. We're in the final stretch. The games are just 28 days away. We've still got more updates and athletes to go. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you right back here next week on Quest for Gold.